George McEncroe with you on Disrupt Radio. We know what unsafe workplaces can sound like in the cartoons.
Simpson, you got a 513. No, a 513. In your procedures manual, a 513? Look at your control panel.
Oh, a 513. I'll handle it. That got it.
If only it were that easy. Just throw a bucket of water on it. Joining me to discuss the stresses and strains of our current workplace is Audrey McGibbon, Chartered Occupational Psychologist, Executive Coach, Wellbeing Expert, Co-Founder of Eek and Sense. Thanks for joining us again, Audrey.
No problems, George. My pleasure.
It's really great to have you here. You've been looking at the mental strain endured in the modern workplace, with a focus on particularly women and how they're experiencing their time in the workplace. What are the differences, do you think, between how women and men are managing mental strain?
Okay, it's a great question. And actually, the focus that we have is on looking at managers, professionals, and leaders. And as a subset of that, you can't help but then start to examine, well, are there any gender-related differences? And I think it's an important point because when we're talking about the general population at large, you know, people who are either in more junior positions or potentially so marginalized in society that they're not working at all, you would see different trends that are there. And, you know, if you had neuroscientists on the line, they would debunk a lot of the sort of the stereotypical myths about women's brains and men's brains being, you know, different, or women just being like little men. So there's a whole heap of stuff outside of where I would consider me to have a valid expert voice. So I just wanted to say that.
Sure.
In the workplace, in senior professional managerial leadership roles, what we do see are significant differences in almost all of the key drivers of well-being and positive mental health, whereby women fare less well on almost all of those dimensions. And what is... Sorry, go on.
No, why? I just would love to know why. What is it about their experience that is creating, you know, such different outcomes?
Yeah. Again, it's a big question. The question of why has got us scratching our heads, because we've been studying this for 10 years, so long, obviously, before COVID.
Yeah.
And really sort of since the strong push on closing the gap. And quite depressingly, George, we've actually seen from a gender well-being perspective, the gap has got wider. So why is that when, you know, arguably, although the progress is still, you know, tragically slow in my view,
yes,
we've heard a little bit today about the closing of the gender pay gap, and there is better representation at the top than there has been previously, although it's obviously got a long way to go.
It's pathetic.
But the gender
really.
Stuff is bucking that trend. And so why? Yeah. Why? It's a great question. Now, I think there are a few factors at play. One is the sort of the emotional makeup and some of the personality factors at play here. So by what I mean by that, probably two of the most well-established observations are that women tend on average to be slightly more extroverted and on average have a stronger need for social connection and quality of relationships. And yet in the workplace, our data shows that they feel less part of a close and supportive team. They feel less respected, less likely to say other people take them seriously. They have less fun in the workplace. They trust their boss less or feel able to trust their boss less. They're more likely to experience toxic working relationships. So on almost every single dimension of the factors that predict how socially well someone feels at work, women would score less well on those. And so it's this kind of like, well, why does that happen? So, you know, why are women experiencing more psychological distress or lower levels of well-being? In part, it's because of lower levels of social connection. But then you just take the magnifying glass down again and say, well, why are they experiencing lower levels of social connection?
Yeah. And also, what does social connection mean? Like, is it that men, I don't know, I was just thinking about this, we did a show yesterday about boys and their toys and online gaming as a sport, and this guy who's spent his whole life in it said, yeah, men hate being beaten by women in online, even though it's a very equal playing field. Anyone of any age can join these competitions, but they would rather be beaten by an 11-year-old boy than a woman of their own age who's been gaming for as long as them. Is there like something in that? He didn't have an answer, but I wondered, you know, if that's part of it as well, that there's a need to show deference to some of your male colleagues, or an expectation that if you don't do that, then you're a troublemaker, you're bossy.
Well, I think women have got a slightly different sort of reaction to fear. And one of the things that we know is more women than men are likely to report feeling anxious and feeling depressed. Now, if we just focus on the anxiety side of things, anxiety is a sort of a disproportionate or a not helpful reaction to feelings of fear. And why might women feel more fear? Well, some of that is probably genetically sex-based genes. Women, for example, their brains produce less serotonin and they've got fewer serotonin receptors. So we're kind of biologically, if you like, less likely to experience the feel-good factors. Now, from a man's perspective, that might then interpret to them feeling better, and therefore we perceive them as having a little bit more of a swagger. So, you know, it's really easy for women to point the finger at men to point the finger at women.
It doesn't help anyone.
It doesn't help anyone, but understanding that on average, and again, one of the things that doesn't help is when we talk about all women being like this and all men being like that.
Yeah, no, of course, they're generalities,
Yeah, more men have got a stronger competitive drive, so that might explain some of your gamer comments.
Yeah.
Brilliant novel I'm reading, by the way, at the moment on Tomorrow, all about gamers, which is not really my genre at all.
No, but it's an interesting microcosm, I guess, of the world.
Yeah, it is.
And so many women I know who game put on a male persona and a male voice even, because it's the only way they can have equal play with some of these guys. As soon as these men know that they're women, they start being horrible to them and calling them all sorts of vicious names. It's like, whoa, dude, why?
That's right.
Why does it bother you so much?
The other little thing I would put in about that book is the reason that I'm reading it is because it is the book of the month for my little mother's group book club that goes back over 20 years. And it's one of my strongest sources of social connection. It's a group of professional women, small group of professional women who happen to have first met through their kids.
Oh, you can hit gold with the mother's group lottery. It becomes a book group.
You can, but where's the male equivalent? So anyway, we've got some of those sort of biological genetic differences. And what that then manifests, even in a senior group of people, is that there are disproportionate levels of anxiety, fear. And I caught the tail end of Marianne earlier. Mm. And this kind of, you know, if we could eradicate unhelpful reactions to fear, that would be brilliant for both genders.
Yeah, sadly.
That insecurity that there is in organisations.
Yeah, and distinguish, I mean, teasing out what's cultural, what's biological, you know, we're all steeped in this same sort of patriarchal tea, I guess. Men hear messages about what they should be in all sorts of ways, and women, you know, pick up messages no matter how much you try and shake it off and shower it off yourself. I guess knowing that, you know, like any issue, knowing that you have a problem is the first step to addressing it is part of what your research is about too, isn't it? It's like showing people where that there is a problem. You're not crazy. This is a common response. Look, we've got to go to an ad break, but I want to come back with more questions on how women experience this and what sort of strategies you can put in place if you run a business or if you are going into a business to see, you know, what the mental health outcomes might be for you, whether you know, wherever you identify. George McEncrow with you on Disrupt Radio.